Before we even start this message this morning, I want to ask this question. If you had to, if somebody was forcing you to today, to, on a scale of 1 to 10, put where you think your love is for God right now, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would it be? Would it be a 3 or a 4 or a 6 or an 8? Where would you place your self on a scale of how much you love the Lord? But then along with that, I want to ask this question. How are you demonstrating that you love the Lord? What in your life could the Lord look at and say, well, I know they love me because they're... How are you demonstrating your love? Just like faith, what does James tell us? Faith without what? Works is dead. Well, I think love without works is also dead. Now, I don't have a verse that says that, but I believe it is similarly true that you demonstrate your faith by your works. You also demonstrate your love by your works, your love for the Lord. And so we have been looking, and you may turn to John chapter 15. We have been doing this study now for a few weeks in John 15. And the whole series of five messages eventually that we'll have here, we've called the Five Secrets of Living. The Five Secrets of Living. Here in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. We started with this verse about four Sundays ago now. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so because life is so precious, and life is the one thing that we have, let me stop for a moment and say, do you know, there's only one thing that God gave you that you can take to heaven with you. Now, that I'm going to say is your children. And that's why I think it's so important that we do all within our power to reach our own kids for Christ. But also, God gave you life. And if you will receive his eternal life, you too can take that life to heaven with you. And so we reminded us that we're doing one of three things with our life. We're either wasting it, or spending it, or investing it. And certainly I pray in my own heart and life that I am not wasting my life, and I pray that I am not just spending my life, but that I am investing my life. And that's the goal. And so the secret of living, we found the very first secret was fruit bearing. And we looked in John, several places in John 15, but I draw your attention to verse 8. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, or so shall you demonstrate that you're my disciples. So shall you prove that you're my disciples, if you bear much fruit. And so if you really want to know how to live today, the secret is bear fruit. That's why we are here. That's the purpose of our lives, is to glorify God by bearing fruit. And we again, a few weeks ago, looked at several areas where we can bear fruit. In the area of other souls for Christ, that's fruit of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, gentleness, meekness, temperance. We looked at the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at the fruit of our lips, being praised to God and singing God's praises and glorifying God. We looked at the fruit of our investing our lives in other people and being godly. And so there's a lot of different fruit that is spoken of in the New Testament. So we are to bear fruit. Secret number two to fruit bearing is abiding. And again, we looked at this a few weeks ago, John 15, 4 and 7, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. So the secret of fruit bearing is abiding. And we all say, well, duh, of course not. Last year, some of you know, and a few of you saw it in my home, but I have an arrow garden that I had, and it's a garden that grows just with water and nutrients that you put in the water, but there's no soil. And it has a lamp on it that is on a timer, and the lamp comes on a certain number of hours a day. And I planted 3 tomato plants in there back in December of 2017. And until July of this year, I was still getting fruit off of that. But every so often, I would give it a haircut. I would go through and just cut that branch and those tomatoes completely off. But you know, after I cut the branch off, I didn't sit there and wait for those branches to bear more fruit. Why? Because it wasn't abiding. And the branch that I cut off, I just threw away because I wasn't expecting to get any more fruit from that particular branch. Well, we're reminded that we can't bear fruit of ourselves. We have to be abiding in Christ. And so that starts, of course, with a personal salvation relationship with Christ. And then it goes on with that day by day fellowship with him and walking in his ways. And that leads me to secret number 3. The secret of abiding is obeying. We certainly need to learn that if you're going to abide with Christ, it's only because you are obeying and you're doing what he says. John 15, 10 and 14 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So the opposite is what? If you don't keep my commandments, you are not going to what? Abide in my love. So even as I have kept my Father's commandments, he was our example, and abide in his love. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So there is this obedience. If you keep my commandments. And so obedience. And then this morning, we are going to see secret number 4. The secret of obeying is loving. Now, there's the verse. Let's read it in John 15, 9 and 10. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 14, just back a chapter in verse 23, says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And so there's some pretty strong language there. It says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Do you see the way that love and obedience go together? Also in John 14, in verse 15, it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, I like to do little visuals to help you remember these things. So what is our goal? To really know how to what? Live. That's the goal. And we've already learned that the foundation for living is fruit bearing. All right? And then we learned already that the foundation of fruit bearing is abiding. Yep, somebody got ahead of me there and was right. Abiding. And then the foundation of abiding is obeying. And then this morning we're going to see the foundation of obeying is loving. And next Sunday we're going to see that one. All right. That's going to be right there, the foundation under that one. If I told you today, you wouldn't come back next Sunday. So I've got to, you know, I've got to keep you working there. But so we have, we learned last week that there are certain levels of obedience and reasons why we obey, but those are also very similar to the why we and it has to do with our love too. And so again, there was a level that we called for obedience last week called the level of fear. We obey because we have to, because in Hebrews 12 it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know, and so out of fear we say, well, I'm going to obey so I don't have to get chastened. Now that's smart. And that's okay. But that should not be our only motive for obeying, just fear. But there was a second level there called the level of selfishness. We obey because we need to. And I want to draw your attention to that passage in Matthew 19:27. It says, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Oh, what was Peter demonstrating here? And it's he said, all right, we've forsaken everything, and now what? What are we going to get out of it? What are we going to get? You know, there's a lot of people who live their entire Christian life just hoping that if I do this, God's going to do this. We kind of like to make a deal with God. And so if I do this, man, it's going to be something good for me. But the third level, and the level that we're looking at this morning, is the level of obeying because we want to. Not because we have to and need to, just because we know we're going to get more if we do. But we want to. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Based upon what? Love. Based upon love. Why is love the highest motive for obedience? Well, I'm going to give you two or three reasons this morning. Because love always centers on the giver and not the gift. You know, I have some things that I actually have kept over the years. And you know what? I love to get something from my grandkids, even if it's just a scribbling colored page. You know, when they're first learning how to color, and they'd say, I colored this for you, Grandpa. Oh, and in your mind, you want to say, you call that coloring? No, I'm just kidding. My grandchild did that, and he almost stayed in three of the lines, you know. But you know what? I am not centering on the gift. What am I centering on? The giver, the person, my grandchild. It's not the gift, it's the giver. And our love is based on who it is we love, not what he gives us. He's the center. And that love is built on a personal relationship. We are just beginning the life and the study of the book of Job here in the adult Sunday school division here that meets in the auditorium. And you remember Job, and I'm not going to go through the whole story of Job, but you know how that God allowed Job to be tested by Satan. And what was Job sure was going to happen? That it was going to show that once things started going wrong, Job was going to curse God and he was not going to be so faithful. God, you know, Job's theory was that only because you're so good to Job is that's why he's loving you. But listen to this verse from the book of Job, chapter 13 and verse 15. Job 13:15. Says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Does that sound somewhat like someone that, up to this point, he's already done what? Gone through a whole bunch of the trials already, isn't he? And what is he still claiming after going through all those trials? Is his obedience to God based upon, I have to, or I need to, or I want to? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And then we have illustration from Jacob. And I want to draw your attention back to Genesis 29. And we have this story of Jacob going on back there in Genesis 29. And we have a love story going on here. The love story here is, who did Jacob love? Rachel. And he came to the wedding day after he had worked, and he lifts the veil and he's staring at Leah. You talk about a double cross. So what does he do? Works another 7 years. And look at what it says in Genesis 29:20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. You know, I wonder if we could say today, my service for God just seems like a few days because of my love for God. My obedience is not hard because of my love for God. I can do anything for him because I love him. It's not burdensome. It's not hard. And so the motivation behind obedience is love, because it centers on him, on the giver. And we love him. But love does not measure the sacrifice. You know, that's why it's such a high motive for obedience. Love doesn't say, man, you know what I had to do? Man, they're getting off easy over here because, but you know what I had to do? No, love doesn't measure what you have to sacrifice. Love doesn't measure what you do. Did Jesus' love, was it measured by just his desire to obey God? No, he didn't do it just because he had to. What did he do it for? Love. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. The sacrifice was not too great because of the love. He was willing to lay down his life for his friends. There's a third reason, and we sang a lot about this today. 1 John tells us, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? Love. You know why love is such a wonderful, high motive for obedience? Because we're reflecting God's attributes when we do it. He's love. There's a chorus that is sometimes sung, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. And certainly, we've already been dwelling on that truth. Again, over in the epistle, the letter of John in 1 John, we read in chapter 4, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth not, or feareth, is not made perfect in love. And then that wonderful verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. So, love is a wonderful motivation. And we ought to love. And as we love, one of the ways we're going to demonstrate that we love is by obeying. Because it's an attribute of God himself, this love, because it doesn't kind of keep tabs of what it costs us. You know, I hope that those of us who are husbands here today don't keep a tab of every time we do something out of love for our wife and say, well, and that's 10 things. I guess I've done enough this week. No, we don't keep track of the sacrifices that we make for the one we love, do we? And it's that way when it comes to God. Christ did not keep tabs of what he had to sacrifice, and we shouldn't. We don't measure the cost. And we center our love on the giver. Love is a fulfillment of the law. Jesus said that. When you fall in love with somebody, you don't need to have rules and regulations to govern that relationship. When a husband and a wife love each other, they always will try to do the things that please each other and help each other. You won't say, well, here's a list of things I'm going to do to show you that I love you, and this is how you better do it. You keep this list. No, love doesn't need the law. When parents care for their children because they love them, not because the law requires. In our state, does our law, in some of the laws in our state, govern how parents are supposed to care for their children? Yeah, we have laws. But I hope none of us seated here this morning who have children say, well, I just did it because the law made me do it. You know, no, we do it because we love our children, not because the law says we have to do something. God wants that obedience from the heart. I want to give you an illustration from the book of Deuteronomy. Many of you know the book of Deuteronomy means second law. It comes from two words, deutero, which means two, and namas, which means law, second law. Why did they need a second law? Well, we have the children of Israel who have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They're about ready to re-enter the promised land. The old generation has all passed away. We have a new generation of those who are going in. And before they go into the land, what does Moses need to do? Remind them about the law. When you enter the land, here's what's going to be expected of you. But here, Moses does something in Deuteronomy that was never done in the book of Exodus when the original law was given. He's now repeating that law for a new generation. Deuteronomy, though, is different than Exodus. Deuteronomy emphasizes the heart. Exodus, they were to obey out of fear and judgment. If you do this, but if you don't do this, I'm going to knock you up one side of the head, and you know. So their motive for obeying in Exodus was fear and judgment, but not in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says, I want you to obey out of love, not out of fear. And that's what makes it. Let me give you some examples. If you want to turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. We'll start there, and we're going to kind of work through several verses in Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy 4:37. And because he loved their fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in the sight of in his sight with his mighty power of Egypt. So they're being reminded here at the beginning of the book, why did God do what he did with you? Because he loved you. Now go to chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, and we call this the Shema. And in Deuteronomy 6:4 it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. So again, what is our motive now as we're going to go in, we're going to listen to the word, and we're going to love the Lord with all our hearts. Look at chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9, Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. And so what's the motive? Love. Look at Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep his commandments of the Lord and his statutes. What are you supposed to do? Love him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Look at 11:1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments, his commandments always. And then way at the end of the book, chapter 30. Says in verse 6, And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Did you see? Something changed between Exodus and Deuteronomy. The motivation back in Exodus was, you better do it. The motivation in Deuteronomy was, love the Lord. Love the Lord. And then his commandments are not burdensome. Moses makes it clear to Israel and to us that the secret of obeying is loving. Do you know that Jesus quotes more from the book of Deuteronomy than any other book of the Bible? Jesus quotes from this book over and over and over. In the entire New Testament, Deuteronomy is quoted or referred to over 80 times. 80 times there's a verse or a phrase that comes out of the book of Deuteronomy. Love and obey. We sing, trust and obey. Sometime we ought to change one verse and say, love and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to love and obey. This book of Deuteronomy is the book of loving obedience and obedient love. And I think Jesus quoted from it because you know what he wants in our lives today? Loving obedience and obedient love. Do you know that you cannot make anybody else love you. You can't command love. But God has the right to command our love because His will is always the best. I mentioned something similar to this on Wednesday night in our study there. Last Wednesday night, we were looking at the truth of being having joy in the Christian life. And I said, God never asks us to do something that He doesn't also give us what? The ability to do. Well, here's somebody put it concisely this way. God's commandments are God's enablements. Same thing. God won't command anything that He doesn't enable you to do. So, can you love Him? You certainly can. In and of ourselves, we can't love Him. We already read this in John 15 earlier in our study. Without me, ye can do nothing. But through Christ, what can I do? All things. All things. Through Christ, which strengthens me. It is possible to love Him and to love Him more and more. Now, I started the message today with this question. If you put your love on a scale from 1 to 10, where would it fall? Well, if you're like most people today, and I'm talking about Christians who are here today, if you were to talk about most people, you'd say, well, man, to be honest, I can't say that I love Him with a 10. My love's not perfect. But we would say, oh man, the very fact that I'm in church this morning shows the Lord that I love Him. So maybe that's part of the demonstration that so there's a 2 at least. And most of us would probably want to say that we're somewhere, 5, 6, 7 in there somewhere. We that's what our love is. But we're told to love Him with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our soul. He doesn't just want 40, 50, 60, 70% of our love. He wants all of our love. And that's possible, to love Him and to love Him more and more. We're going to rebuild our little pyramid here. The more that we love Him, the more that we will, what is the next block? Obey Him, all right? And then I didn't take the time to write it out because my boxes were getting shorter every time. So the more that we obey Him, the more we will abide in Him. And the more we abide in Him, the more we will bear fruit. Fruit we'll bear, the more fruit we'll bear. And the more fruit we'll bear, the more we will live that abundant Christian life. And so this is our study in reverse. But it starts down there, with the exception of one more block, it starts down there the more that we love Him. We sang this morning, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, but the question is, we sang 4 or 5 songs about love this morning. Here's the real kicker. Do we really love Him? Are we just saying words? Or do we really love Him? And what are we then showing in our lives that demonstrates that we really love Him? Secret number 4, the secret of obeying, is loving. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's pray. Lord, when the new generation was about ready to enter into Israel, Moses kept reminding them over and over that the motive for obeying was love. It's not hard to obey one we love. It's not hard to try to do that which pleases someone when we really love that person. We don't count sacrifice. We just focus on the one we love. Father, we pray that we'll not consider anything too great a sacrifice for you, that we would willingly and gladly give our all because we love you, that we would not count life with, I do this for Christ and I do this for myself. No, life is to be lived totally for your glory, every aspect of our life. Lord, you don't just want an hour every Sunday morning of our time and our lives. You want our entire life to be lived as a demonstration of our love for you. So help us to be honest as we evaluate our love this morning, and help us to ask you what we can do more to demonstrate that love. And if our love is lacking today, perhaps it's because we've never had that first and foremost relationship that brings us into union with our Savior. Perhaps it's because we've never been saved. We don't have that vital relationship of union with Christ through faith. I pray that if there's one here today that does not know Christ, that they might see they need that vital, vital, life-giving relationship with the Savior. And then, Lord, if there are things in our lives that take up more of our love, I pray that you will remove those things from us. Work in our lives so that we might grow in our love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.